This is Ned's NRL Unpopular Opinions with Gerald Yao-Yi, Oscar Panifex, Liam Fogarty, and Ryan Cook.
Hello, welcome to another episode of Ned's NRL Unpopular Opinions. I am your host, Ryan Cook. Round six of the NRL is fast approaching. We've got a huge Brisbane Derby clash ahead on Friday between the Broncos and the Finns, and a fascinating top eight clash on Saturday afternoon between the Wires and Manly to dive into. Injuries and suspensions have made for another tricky weekend, but to help me cover all the action, one of the sharpest minds in the game, he's tying the knot this weekend. It's Oscar Panifex.
Yeah.
You are the sharpest.
I have here. 2 days of freedom left. Yeah. 2 days of eyes up footy, and then it's a lifetime of systems and getting to points on the field. So,
and look, speaking from a person who is married, all the best, brother. All the best.
Are you nervous?
Maybe a little bit. I'm excited. I'm excited. Maybe a few nerves as well. But looking forward to it. I will be missing next week. So, good luck to you boys.
That's the one you skip listeners.
I'm sure you boys will be all right.
Star of country radio and still the undefeated coach of the West Arana Panthers, it's Gerald Yao-Yi.
Sorry, that's me shooting guns in the air. Love what I do. Love who I am. I'm Carl.
Not going to explain that joke. And finally, the Mo Man himself, sloppy steak enthusiast, it's Liam Fogarty.
That's it. I used to be a piece of shit, but people can change.
People can change, absolutely. Yeah.
That's so true.
All right, boys. Look, we're up and about this morning, so I thought we'd play a bit of a game to start the show.
Yes. Okay. I like games.
We're going to throw it back to Fogs' old days. We're going to play a bit of buy and sell.
Okay.
So I'm going to throw some questions at you, rugby league related, and you tell me if you're going to buy or sell them. So the news on everyone's lips right now is, of course, Latrell Mitchell and the South Sydney debacle. Three-game suspension handed down, and he's not allowed to go back to the farm. We found out yesterday. Latrell's suspension.
He's been banned from the farm.
He's been banned from the farm.
It's not free range anymore.
He's been caged.
He's caged.
Oh, love eggs.
Look, Latrell's suspension, does it actually take some of the pressure off Jason Demetriou? Buy or sell?
Sell. I don't see how it helps in any way with what's going on at South Sydney at the moment. Sell for me.
I'll buy, because I think a lot of the heat is always on Latrell. So there might not be as much without him there. There might not be as much light on the Rabbitohs if they win this weekend. You know what I mean? If. I said, by the way, to Oscar. I'll buy.
Fogs?
I think I'm selling. Like, they've all got their own demons to work out at the moment, and I don't think that they're quite coinciding.
Okay, so do you think that Souths are kind of being, like, Souths fans are being too hard on Latrell here? Oscar, you're a Souths fan, so where do you stand on this? Because there's been a lot of frustration from the fans about him not playing for the jumper.
Yep.
Are you of that belief?
Yeah, I can definitely see, you know, where those arguments are coming from. It's frustrating to see him miss games for, you know, silly errors, which is what those things were. I think he is unfairly piled on overall, generally speaking. You look at the numbers he's putting up this year, he's always been long accused of being, coming in and out of games or not making his presence felt in the games. He's averaging or more than his career average of receipts per game. His running meters are up. By no means has he been excellent, I think he's probably been unfairly targeted. It's easy to make him the scapegoat for everything that's going on at South at the moment, but I think it'll be clear to see that it's not just his fault.
He always is, though. Like, Latrell could walk on water and people would hang shit on him for not being able to swim. Like, I think.
Well said.
Yeah, like, I don't think he could do anything without copping a shit, so I don't know.
Do you think he'd be the sort of player that would almost benefit from, like, playing for a Queensland team to get away from all that pressure on there?
Oh, no, like, I'm not just saying that because I would like to see him in a Broncos jersey. I'm just saying, I actually do. Sometimes the best things happen when you get different scenery. We've seen a lot of players in the past, happen to a lot of players in the past, you know. I mean, for instance, right now, look at Luke Brooks. You know, he's not actually the limelight at the moment. He's not the scapegoat for West Tigers, and they're still shit, you know. You know what I mean? Like it's, that's what I mean. Like, he's actually in a team where there's other players that, the calibre of where his standards are. So is it the fact that we put Latrell on a pedestal and saying he is the best all the time, so he's got to be the best? I think there's an onus to other players in the side have got to stand up as well. So I think it might be good for him to have a couple of weeks off, not for the reason he did has the weeks off. Just get away, you know, press the reset button and go again. And we've got no doubt. We've seen some of the best footy from Latrell over the years. And yeah, I think his best footy is in front of his career. I think he's got a lot more to offer. Yeah, I think he'll be better for it.
Speaking of Queensland teams, let's switch to the Finns now. The injury bug's bitten pretty hard at Redcliffe. Yep. Herbie Farnworth out for at least a month. Felice Kafusi's missing this week. Tom Flegler less than 100% with a shoulder problem. Mm. /sell, the Dolphins have Brisbane this week in the derby. Then they got the Eels in Darwin, Newcastle at Suncorp. Then a trip to Townsville to face the Cows. Do we think we're going to see the Finns start to come back to earth?
I'll buy hesitantly. Yeah, I think they'll come back down a little bit with those absences over the next month. But, you know, there's still pretty good roster depth there. Like, Tessie New comes in this week. They've also got Valence Tafade in the reserves to cover Herbie. Neither of those guys are the same caliber as what Farnworth is. But they're by no means, you know, rookie 18-year-olds. Like, Tessie's played 50-odd first-grade games.
Yep.
And then Kenny Bromwich comes in for Felice Kafusi. It's a 200-game
handy replacement. Yeah.
So, like, I do think they'll come back down, you know, to earth, as you put it, but I'm not worried about the Finns as I was this time last year when they got off to a good start, but we knew that they were only two or three injuries away from, you know, not being able to field a pretty competitive 17. They're still putting out a good squad this weekend.
And as you always say, Gerald, the Uncle Wayne factor is a big part of how the Finns play.
Yeah, I always get worried about this game. We seen a blockbuster last year in it, and it was a runaway try to win it, to finish it at the end from Katoni Staggs. And, yeah, there's a lot of history in this game now, and it's weird that they've only been in the comp for 1 year. Mm. I talk history when we talk about coaches, players have jumped ship. You know, the Brisbane Battle, they're calling it. It's got a lot of elements to a great game. I'm going to buy as well. I think they're not that I think it might start, you know, on the weekend. I don't know where this game's going to go. Yeah. I'm actually a little bit worried about it from a Broncos supporter point of view, because there's a lot of emotion in it. But yeah, I think they'll come back down to earth a little bit in the next couple of weeks with the draw they have and the injuries they have. That, you know, they're not going to stay up there the whole time.
So we got two buys. Foggs, you're going to talk more about the Finns a bit later on, but are you on the buy or sell side here?
I think it's a buy by default. Like, they're on top of the table at the moment, so anything less than what they're doing right now is falling back down to earth. So, I don't see them winning every single game from here at the moment. So, yeah, absolutely it's a buy.
Three buys, all in agreement there. Look, never too early to talk Origin, and there's already been some minor buzz about who Michael Maguire might select at number 9 in his first year in charge this year. Yeah. We've spoken plenty about Wade Egan on the show over the last few weeks, setting the league on fire this year, as we know. Mm-hmm. Look, pretty simple one. Do we think Egan get the call up for game one?
Look, he's playing for New Zealand. He's not eligible, so he shouldn't be allowed.
if we could have Mulitalo.
Yeah. No, look, he's really coming to his own in the last couple of years. Does that mean he can play under another system like Madge's? You know, I mean, he's in a great system at the Warriors right now, where what he's doing for that side is just working so well. So, I mean, time will tell. It's such a different position to be in. Origin's such a different arena. And you'll never know. We'll never know until he gets over there and has a crack. So it'd be nice to see him, you know, get an award.
Mm. Oscar, you've been a big fan of Egan over the last few weeks.
Yeah, massive fan. I did a big video piece on him this week at Rugby League Writers as well. I think he's the form hooker of the competition right now. I think he's certainly in the frame. There's competition for that spot. Damien Cook's playing Reggie's this week, but Reece Robson, Abby Corrissau.
Would you have him ahead of Corrissau right now?
Oh, geez.
A tough one.
Appy's the incumbent, so he's probably got that working for him as well. And he's more experienced, but I certainly wouldn't be upset if I saw Wade's name in the squad.
But he's like picking other people that shouldn't deserve
like random dudes, yeah.
So I got no doubt he might swing that way.
Look, lastly, I don't know if you boys have seen, Taylor May's got some new ink. Big and bold, and you can't miss it.
I have not.
I'll spin my laptop around in a second. He's got the word May tattooed across his neck.
I'll
give you the look.
It's like an absence of
this is what we're looking at.
Yeah.
Buy or sell the new tat?
Well, I mean, where's June, July? We've obviously missed the beat on that one. Where is he going to put all those on? The rest of them.
Clip that up, Rich. We're done.
I think he's got his PIN number tattooed on the inside of his arm as well, just in case he forgets.
That's that is, I mean, each to their own. Like, imagine going back 10 years, you know, now you wouldn't be allowed in anywhere. Like, there was, you know, issues of bikies, you know, you couldn't, if you had tattoos, you were a bikie. Like, that's what everyone thought, right? So, yeah, I'm not sure what he was thinking there, but look, he's a lot bigger than me, so I'll shut my mouth.
You got any sick ink, Oscar?
Oh, yeah, nothing on that level. I was
that
talking
would have to, hurt oh, so no. much.
I was talking to someone the other day, little fun trivia fact, no NRL or NRLW player with a facial tattoo has ever scored in either competition.
Oh,
whoa! Really?
When Taylan May or Caitlin Moran, who plays for the Newcastle Knights in the NRLW, when either of those score a try this season, that'll be the first facial tattoo try scorer.
Wow,
that's wrong.
According to the fellow who I was speaking to during the week, so yeah, might want to fact check that.
I want to know the stats. Yeah. I want to know the stats. I mean, I don't really
since he got his tear tattoo, and now he's got another one, and now he's got the neck, so could be a trifecta.
Oh, like I've always said this. Like I love tattoos as well. I'm a bit more of a pussy when it comes to getting them in positions where they're not going to hurt. But I'd take my hat off him. There's no way in the world I could do that. And obviously. He's, you know, big love for his family and, you know, all jokes aside, that's, you know, it's a show of respect.
Very proud of his surname.
Very proud of who he is. So without me taking the piss out of it. But yeah, that's great stat. Great tattoo. Good luck to him.
That might be the best stat we've had on the show ever.
Yeah.
Oh, gee, I hope it's right. And I didn't check it out. It just sounded legit.
That's one you want to make sure it heals properly before you play. Like, you get dirt and stuff.
Well,
and
this is the other thing, right, about tattoos. We were never allowed to get tattoos in season at the Broncos because of surgery reasons, right? So if you hurt yourself on that arm and you've only had fresh ink, you can't go get an operation.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So there was when you sign your contract at the Broncos, That was in our contracts. You weren't allowed to go get tattoos in season. So I'm pretty sure they still have it too at the Broncos right now. So when the boys do their off season stuff and they're away from the club and they don't have to get their surgeries, they're allowed to go do it. But I can't believe that's crazy.
Maybe he was planning to actually get suspended for that hit on Walsh. Yeah, had it booked in for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, a couple of weeks off.
Well, speaking of stats, we're going to come back with Fogs and Oscar, in the offload.
All the betting trends from around the comp. This is The Offload.
Time to talk some betting with two blokes that know their way around a multi. First, though, Oscar is back.
Do we?
They don't.
Where's intern Matt? I didn't know he was here.
First, though, Oscar is back with another in-depth article on the Neds blog, shining some light on the Roosters, the Broncos, the Eels and Souths, four of the league's biggest clubs currently sitting outside the top eight.
Mm-hmm.
Oscar, we'll start with the Chooks. Unlucky last week against the Dogs. They were down to 12 men at one point.
Mm.
You touched on their depth in the article and it sounds like you're pretty bullish on them turning things around.
Yeah, I don't know if they were unlucky last week. I think they were just dog shit, pardon the French. They gave away 18 points to the Bulldogs in the first 10 or 15 minutes, just beaten in all key effort areas. I think Robinson talked in the post-match about them just, you know, losing in the tackle and not being prepared to put their bodies in front. We've been talking about the Chooks for the last few years, expecting them to be up towards the top and then getting frustrated with, you know, is it combinations in key playmaking positions that aren't working for them? I think they haven't really been able to play with Radley, Cheese, Teddy, Walker and Keary for extended periods of time in the time that those five guys have been at the club. Is that an excuse or do you need to make changes? Like, their best attacking performance was in round three when Sandard Smith was in the halves instead of Keary. So there's still a lot of things for Trent Robinson to figure out. But I think, just their depth. And as long as they stop beating themselves, I think they're going to be there or thereabouts in the back end of the year.
Next on your list is the Bronx, sitting 2-3, occupying 11th on the ladder.
Mm-hmm.
Reece Walsh is back this week, and Ezra Mam has escaped a pretty serious injury scare. Again, after pushing Penrith and Melbourne to the sword earlier in the year, it sounds like the glass is half full.
Yeah, I spoke about this already on the potty this year, the way that Brisbane responded in the second half against Penrith and then going very close against Melbourne at Amy Park.
Haven't
last
won
week.
Down there in 16 as well. It's a tough win. It's a tough loss, sorry.
Yeah, it was a tough loss, but like you're refusing to make it easy for the opposition at the moment. Brisbane are refusing to beat themselves. All their role players, I said this last week, are doing their jobs to keep you in the contest. Mm. And then the guys that you need to step up have been stepping up. Mm. And those got Paddy, Carrigan, Selwyn and Ezra have been immense over the last 3 months while Renault, Haas and Reece have been missing. So, yeah, I'm not worried at all about the Broncos.
How often do you drop 30 points and lose? Yeah. Like, that's just unheard of. So.
No, they'll be okay.
The Eels, they've been hampered by injuries. I've seen plenty of carry-on on our Parramatta fan forums about Sivo being dropped to the reserves this week. But give us your thoughts on Parramatta.
Yeah, I'm not as convinced about the Eels. Same win-loss record as the Broncos. Injuries, you know, all teams are dealing with injuries at the moment. It's the way the teams are able to respond from them that's kind of the difference right now. Parramatta's problems were evident before Moses went down, though. They're very inefficient in good ball. We spoke last week about good Parramatta's playing nice and direct, offload, second phase play, quick play the balls, and then shifting versus the bad Eels when they just try and pass away around teams. And that's when Sivo's just, Hail Marys to Sivo. It's like it's so easy to defend. I'm concerned about where Parra will finish this year. They've got a great pack, but I'm not sure about Dylan Brown at seven, and I think they need a bit more creativity out of dummy half.
Bit of a tough game for the Eels this week against the Cowboys.
Yes.
We'll head to the Gold Coast now. We're yet to see Desi work his magic on the Gold Coast since and Big Tino going down just made it even harder.
Yep.
Can we expect the Titans to win a game anytime soon?
I think they'll improve slowly. They're not one of the four big clubs outside the top eight right now, but in terms of what we expected them to do under Des Hasler, who's certainly a big coach, I think they've obviously underperformed, still figuring out how to replace Tino. Tanner Boyd's back in the seven jumper again this week, which is great for him. Like, it's interesting to see different coaching approaches. So many coaches swinging the axe and hitting the panic button and replacing halves. Tanner hasn't been great to start the year, but I think it's there's a world where it's encouraging for Titans fans, I think, that Dez is sticking solid.
Yeah, and we spoke about this last week on the potty. Sometimes you just have to give them the chance.
Yep.
And at the end of the day, he can go, you know, I've given him every possible, you know, opportunity to do what he can.
Yep.
And when he does swing the axe, then I'm sure Tanner will go, I got given that chance. So I don't see the Titans going anywhere crazy either at the moment, but they might be struggling, I said last week, they might be struggling trying to adapt to how he coaches sides and, bringing his philosophy to the Gold Coast. So they might take a little bit more to get used to, and losing some extra players doesn't help, and leaders doesn't help with that as well.
There were certainly signs of life against the Cows last week. Like, they weren't woeful.
No.
Man, so.
Same as the Dolphins game. They had a good first half.
Yeah.
I think they've improved slightly in each game. I think Gerald's point's a big one there. Like, Dez is, you know, the mad scientist is his nickname for a reason. Mm. He's got some pretty unique philosophies in terms of how to coach, how to attack and how to defend. So, yeah, I think they're just taking their time.
And, like, honestly, when have they really ever sort of gone outside the box of Titans in the last 10 years of how they play footy? So it is going to take some getting used to.
Bit of a work in progress on the Gold Coast. Lastly, we've already spoken about your Mob Souths, but you think the panic button has already been pushed at South Sydney?
Yeah, I think it's done. I think Jason Demetrio will be out of there within the next 2 weeks. Souths have a bye next weekend, and then it's Melbourne into Penrith. So it's not a great time.
I'm so lucky you're getting married. Actually, it gets from worse to worse. It goes from bad to worse, doesn't it?
Just go on an extended honeymoon and don't go back.
That's right, yeah. It's a tough time to bring in an 18-year-old at fullback, and it's a tough time to bring in a new coach. But I think they'll use the bye weekend to move Demetrio on.
Do you reckon it's Jace giving this 18-year-old the opportunity? Do you reckon that's him just knowing in the way out that he just wants to give someone the opportunity in that role? Or is he always going to play?
Or is it just scorched earth? He's just out of there. He's quit. He's over it.
Yeah, could it be all those things? With Latrell suspended, there's like AJ's injured.
Yeah, true.
Jack Whiten hasn't played fullback for a long, long time. I don't know who the other logical option would have been to name it fullback this week. Mm. Maybe, it'll be more interesting to see what happens in 3 weeks' time when Latrell's available and what happens with
West Arana Panthers undefeated. If they need a coach, I will take the rest of the year if they need to.
Yeah, we'll give you Giral's number. Give him a ring. Time to talk some betting. You can find all of Oscar's great work at rugbyleaguewriters.com and on the Neds blog. Fogs, over to you, mate.
Yeah, no worries. Let's start with the Thursday night game, Oscar. Newey versus the Roosters. Mm-hmm. So there's no Dom Young, Tedesco, or Sam Walker for the Chookies.
Yep.
I wouldn't call the Knights convincing last week. I thought the rain obviously had a lot to do with that win.
Yeah.
Is a play on the Roosters at $2.55 worth a look in this week?
Yeah, I don't mind the value in the Chooks there, I think. Newcastle played the conditions really well, like you said. They scored three tries off kicks, spearing the ball into puddles in the in goal. And unfortunately, Tyrell Sloan just had a tough day putting his body on the line to defend those kicks. Yeah. Players missing for the Roosters, but they've got the pack to go with the Newcastle in this one, and their bench is better. So yeah, I don't mind the value.
I think a team that knows how to play with injuries as well is the Roosters. Yep. They always seem to be quite banged up as the season goes on. Friday night, Storm v the Dogs. This is the most one-sided game we've seen so far this year from a gambling perspective. Melbourne are $1.11 to the Bulldogs, $6.80.
Yeah, wow.
Is this a game, you reckon, where we multi up three Melbourne try scorers and hope for the best, or are the Dogs to cover the massive 18.5 point line the smart play?
I don't know. Do you boys want the line?
I think no.
Multi!
Yeah,
I like a multi in this game. The Bulldogs' right edge has conceded 10 of 16 tries this year. The spaces around Drew Hutchinson are being targeted by attacking teams. He's got two new faces on either side of him. Sherry's second game back outside of him, and Josh Curran plays right edge for the Dogs this week. I'm going to be loading up on Melbourne's left edge.
Mm. But yeah, fair enough.
Happy days.
And then the main game of the round is the Battle of Brisbane.
Mm.
I don't think there's ever been an 11th place team that's such heavy favourites over a team on top of the ladder. The Brisbane are $1.30 to the Dolphins, $3.30.
What?
It's a massive
crazy.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
That is crazy.
It's also a 9.5 point line. Mm. Do you reckon this one will be close, or will the Bronx run away with it like the bookies anticipate?
If Wayne Bennett wasn't coach of the Dolphins, I'd be happy to take Broncos like comfortably. I just don't know, like Gerald mentioned, this game, Battle of Brisbane, Wayne up against his old club, it's something about these.
It doesn't rub me the right way. Like, it does not. Like, I'm not, I hate that we're even thinking that they could be Broncos.
They're top of the table for a reason.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what I'm referring to, like panic buttons versus patience in my blog this week. Like, Broncos are 11th right now. They've comfortably been a top 5-6 side this year.
Are they the best 11th place team we've ever seen?
Of all time.
Yeah. Lock that off. In. And then lastly, the team that's really pissed me off this year.
Here he goes. I've been waiting for this.
The Canberra Raiders versus the Titans. Raiders have done the exact opposite of what I thought they would do every week this year.
Yep.
It seems like a pretty simple game on paper this week. Do the milk shit in, or is this the game we finally see the Titans turn things around? $3.30, I think, for the Titans.
Yeah, there's a bit of value in the Gold Coast. Yeah. I don't know. Was that...
No Rapinoe either?
I was going to say.
Yeah, he's gone.
Rapinoe's out.
And no Corey Horsburgh as well, actually.
Mm.
Not that, like, it made a huge difference. He hasn't, but, you know...
Rapinoe does.
Yeah,
this... I mean, I think if you're the Gold Coast Titans, you're probably looking at this and saying... We need to make the most of this opportunity. Was that Canberra's first 13-plus win last week in a long time?
Yes, it was, because they always get dragged back in.
Yeah, I thought the 1-12.
Well, they're always chasing
as well. Yeah, I don't know. I think I like what the Raiders are doing. They're a gritty. They've always been a gritty, effort-based team under Ricky, but they've introduced some more repeatable scoring actions this year. Ethan Strange doing some great things with Xavier Savage on the left edge.
Jeez, he's fast.
He's rookie of the year, quick. Ethan Strange at the moment, surely.
Yeah, he'd be there or thereabouts. Their push supports are really good. Like, you talk about effort areas and some of the teams down the bottom of the ladder. Like, Canberra always come out on top in those effort areas. Yep, so they should win. But yeah, maybe. God, I don't know. Eh?
I've tipped the Raiders punters, so a little dabble in the Titans might not be the worst play of the weekend.
You're on fire.
I'm on fire, just the wrong way. And lastly, Oscar, are there any try scorers that are screaming out to you at the moment? I know you said the Storm's left edge
revs
your tractor. Is there anything else that...
My tractor's revving.
Yeah, I'm just opening up my bet slip here. This morning, so as of Wednesday morning, I took Sean Bloor at 375 and Remus Smith at $3.05, both on Melbourne Storm's left edge, running at the spaces either side of Drew Hutchinson. And I also am going back to the well, Moses Suli. Why the Dragons didn't drop that 110-kilogram wrecking ball back underneath in the last week.
He gave Dane Gagai a lot of problems.
Yeah. Dylan Lucas scored a try using the exact shot. Like, anyway, super frustrating. Mm. Moses is a weapon out there on the Drags' left edge, and he's up against a Tigers' right edge that's missing John Bateman this week, who does a lot of work from the inside from a defensive perspective. So $4 for Moses Suli anytime.
Very nice.
Plenty of good value there. You can find all of Oscar's best bets in Ned's open groups. Despite what I said at the start of this segment, the boys are due a multi to get up. So maybe this will be the week. When we come back, we'll get stuck into story time with Jarrell.
Strap yourself in. It's story time with Jarrell.
He's back from a week-long hiatus, ready to spin another yarn. Jarrell, this is your segment, mate. Take it away.
Yeah, well, I think over the week that we were talking about how wet it was last week with the game in Newcastle. Yep, against the Dragons. And then I think one of you boys put up in our WhatsApp group.
Fogs did.
A game that was also very wet in Perth, I believe.
Rabbits Broncos.
It wasn't the game that I broke my ankle in. It was the same year, though, in 2011. And you were like, why aren't you in the team sheet? Great. You know, I seen you pull that out of nowhere, but I was like,
I did the research. I wanted to make sure that the timelines are right. I didn't want to put my foot in it.
Like I did. Anyway, I still remember what happened then. So I just played my first Origin for Queensland, and that was on a Wednesday night. Now that game that they were playing was on, I believe it was on the week after we played Origin. But what had happened for me is we played Melbourne after my first Origin on a Friday night. And I decided when I got told not to, after we won our first Origin, was to drink. Because I didn't have to go to training the next day because team run, they were like, just rest up. So I got absolutely shit-faced after my first Origin with my friends and sort of went on a tiny little bender after Wednesday night. Went all the way through Wednesday,
just
Thursday.
Just a tiny one.
Went through Thursday and then sort of pulled up Thursday afternoon because I knew I had to play at Suncorp on Friday. Mm. You know, no one really knows. It's the first time people are hearing about this now, so I'm sorry, Anthony Griffin. But what I didn't know that I totally forgot to do was clean my mouth guard. I was actually drinking alcohol with it the next day on the Thursday. And I just put it straight back into my mouth guard case. Oh. So as I'd come on Friday to play Melbourne, I was playing in the centres against Melbourne. I put my mouth guard in, didn't think anything of it. And the week after we played that game in Perth, I got tonsillitis on Saturday because I hadn't washed my mouth out.
Oh, that's grot.
I know. It is disgusting. So the reason why I missed that game is because I had tonsillitis. I lost like 6 or 7 kilos, couldn't travel, and all because I thought it was a great idea to go get fucking pissed after my first Origin. So that was the story about me missing that. And that game was like torrential rain. Mm. That was when Chrissy Sandow played, I think Reese Wesser played, right?
Yeah.
And I think Chrissy Sandow put a kick from like 20 out and it just stopped on the spot. Yep. And Reese Wesser came through and scored.
So you didn't even go to Perth?
I didn't even go to Perth. And I almost didn't even go into camp for the second game because I was still sick for had tonsillitis the week after that we had to go into camp on Monday, right? And they were like, are you going to be fine? I'm like, yeah. Guess what I did on Wednesday? I got drunk at the team in Origin camp.
You look at the outs from that game, it's Jarrell Yayi, Andrew McCulloch, and Corey Norman.
Like, yeah, well.
Something's gone on there.
I'll tell you this right now, Macca wasn't with me, but Corey Norman was.
That's a strong trifecta of outs. What did it taste like?
Oh, delicious. I don't know. But
series victory?
It wasn't good. I knew something was wrong as soon as I inserted. So wash your mouth guard, kids.
Valuable advice. When we come back, we'll get into Fogg's Fast Five.
Who decided to give him his own segments? It's time for Fogg's Fast Five.
Fogs, last week you put the boys on the spot by asking them to draft their ideal starting back five.
Mate, can I just say, on the record, stoked with my team. You're back on shit.
No.
Mine wins comfortably.
No.
I think we learned that Oscar doesn't work well under pressure that day.
Or I do. I don't know. I wasn't happy. And then I got home and I was like, you know what? That was all right.
Being hard on yourself.
The punters disagreed.
Of course they did. You tagged your whole back line.
I did.
None of them responded.
No.
None of mine did either.
No, I had Selwyn get back to me and say thanks.
Shout out Selwyn.
Nah, he said you're a shit coach.
Fogs, what are you cooked up for us this week?
You're off the hook this week, boys.
Oh, thank goodness.
I thought I'd use my time to talk about the Battle of Brisbane.
Yes.
Look, the Dolphins have run a real cool campaign this week, talking about how Brisbane is Finland. Seen those ads with Dwayne Bennett just all over the shop. I've got five reasons this week why that will never actually be the case, and Brisbane will never actually be Finland. Firstly, where are the Dolphins actually from? Like, is this them admitting that they're the Brisbane Dolphins? Because I thought they were Redcliffe, but there's no...
They're from the.
And Redcliffe is the Moreton Bay council area, so they're not even in the Brisbane council area. So I think it's ridiculous that they're
claiming... Did you have to look that up?
I did to make sure. So they're not even from Brisbane, and they don't claim a place anyway, so you can't come up and claim Brisbane.
Yeah.
Yep. So one point to Brisbane?
Yeah. Yep.
One fin.
They've only played two games, but the Broncos have beaten the Finns in all of the major stadiums in Brisbane. We've got a win at Suncorp and the Gabba. And you can't claim a land you've never beaten us in.
Oh, stop it.
We'll happily take it to Ballymore and make it a trifecta.
No one wants to play there.
Exactly. Number three, I've just written jerseys look like shit.
3 points.
Say
less.
Look, Dolphins, the bookies know you're all a bunch of pretenders as well. I've never seen a team top of the table with fatter odds to beat a team in 11th. I hope you enjoyed your time at the top because it's done after this week. And then lastly, I'm just going to rattle off a few names. So Milford, Herbie, Asako, Nikarima, Tessie, Jared Wallace, Tom Flegler, Big Wayno himself. I get that you guys want to be Brisbane, but why don't you have a crack without pinching all of our rejects?
They're all my friends.
Just like Stag said when we won it last time, it's our fucking home. And it's going to be that for a very long time.
Get him in a headlock.
Gets me excited.
Yeah.
You've been dropping some F-bombs today.
I get to edit the pod so they stay in.
All right, let's get into the multi. Last week, look, Oscar, you got us off to a pretty good start.
You took
the Finns head-to-head versus the Tigers.
That's right.
Gerald, you not so good. The Dragons.
You not so good.
Yeah, you're not so good.
You
are not good.
You're not so good.
Not so good.
He can't read good.
You took the Dragons head to head versus the Knights.
Yeah, it didn't go well, did it?
Fogs, who did you have?
Oh. Some shit. I can't remember.
Penrith head to head versus Manly.
Yeah, Penrith. Penrith just break my heart all the time, don't they?
And I had the Waz head-to-head versus the Bunny, so two out of four.
Nice.
Fogs and I were talking yesterday, before I read out the records, that we might need to start bringing in a punishment for who gets the legs wrong.
It's getting ridiculous.
Yep.
I'm willing to put my hand up and say it's just unacceptable for a gambling podcast. Mm. We need to start getting some winners, so yeah.
Are you willing to put your mustache on the line? That's what I
want. Oh, no way.
For the listeners that don't know, I've had this mustache since about 2016, so it's coming on 8 years now. Look, I am willing to put my mustache on the line, but there's nowhere to go from there. That is the top.
Well, I got something for it then. So when I used to play at Norse Devils, we used to, if you're late to training or you didn't wear the right kit, you'd have to roll a dice. So I think that we come up with six things that are on a list, and whoever doesn't get it right each week has to roll that dice
and do one of those things.
We can organise that.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So let's have one last week to just make sure.
You're nervous. The record as it stands, Oscar, you have improved to 3-3. Gerald, you're 3-3. I'm 4-2. Fogs, 1-5.
Oh, 1-5. And I'm on this as the quote-unquote gambling expert.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's not good.
We're a rugby league nerd here, and I used to play the game.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We'll give you that, you know. Yeah, we'll give you that.
And I've just been lucky, to be honest. So
I wasn't trying to bring you down like that.
You're just stoked Jared's not here anymore.
Pretty much. This week, Gerard, you're leading us off on Thursday night.
Yeah, great, because we come out with some great stats about this game straight out of the blocks. I've just gone Newcastle. I thought there was too many outs for the Roosters to not win this. I didn't think they were that convincing, the Knights, but I just think they're back at home. They'll go again. That's my theory on it. So I've gone the Knights head-to-head.
Fogs?
I've taken the Storm 13+ against the Dogs. Mm-hmm. You're only getting $1.50 for it because the line is massive. I'm trying to be a bit conservative and boost my numbers.
That's been working for you. So
yeah. Certainly. Yeah. Well, and then going wide with the Raiders the other week, that really worked as well. So
go back to the well, mate.
I can't even pick my nose.
So it's Storm 13+ on Friday night. I've gone the Eels +3.5 versus the Cowboys on Saturday. Parramatta's won 4 of their last 6 against the Cows. This is only North Queensland's second trip outside of Queensland this year. Just gave up 22 points to the Titans, which is an alarming sign in my opinion. So I like the line about Parramatta.
Great theory about everything that you've done.
Yeah. Lots of thought.
Lots of thoughts in that.
Oscar, you bring us home?
I've taken Dragons 1-12. I think similar theory to why I went with the Dolphins last week. Tigers still missing Lachlan Galvin. John Bateman's out as well this week. I think the Dragons seem to be responding every time they dish up a pretty disappointing performance. There's talk of Zach Lomax moving to fullback this week. So, yeah, I like the value in the Drags. I think, they can handle Wests.
That's even better theory than mine.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. To recap, we've got the Knights head-to-head on Thursday against the Roosters. Fogs has gone the Storm 13+ on Friday night against the Dogs. I've got the Eels +3.5 against the Cowboys. Mm. Oscar, you have the Dragons 1-12. We're getting $13.73 for those 4 legs. So some pretty good value there.
I'm not saying.
No one's saying anything.
No, I'm not saying it. We just need to get off the mark. Yeah.
Lots of head shaking going on. You can find that multi in the special section on the Neds app. When we come back, we'll wrap up the show.
You're listening to Neds NRL Unpopular Opinions.
We're just about to wrap up here on Neds NRL Unpopular Opinions. We've got to name the episode, boys. What are we thinking this week?
I think Jarrell's story about washing his mouth guard is pretty funny. Mm. So wash your mouth guard is my vote.
It's also disgusting.
Yeah.
I'm not happy about that. I got called dragon breath for so much, so long after.
Oh, that's called a dragon breath.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm having so many memories.
You walked straight into that.
Carmichael Hunt called me that in the sheds one day because I forgot to brush my teeth in the morning when we got there at 6. And he's like, oh, you're dragon breath. And I was like, oh, God. I had that name for so long. And now you know why I come in here every week with chewing gum. That's been in my brain since I was 18, 19 years old.
You've opened a wound.
Yeah, I have, yeah. For the listeners that don't know, too, every time we do one of these shows, Gerard comes in chewing gum and our producer, Rich, has to bring out a cup for him to spit it into. And it's probably the most disgusting part of our day.
But we still got it. Yeah. We still got it. And
by the end of the year, it's going to be ready to be the 18th NRL team.
Yeah, it's growing its own colony.
We can sell it on eBay. And this is the one week you didn't spit it out. Yeah. No, we're calling it dragon breath.
I know. I actually had a coffee in here. Idiot, man. I'm an idiot.
Boys, what are we looking forward to this weekend? Obviously, big weekend for Oscar. Congratulations to him.
Congratulations or commiserations, whichever one that you have. It's a beautiful day, mate. I mean, good day. You're going to really thoroughly enjoy it.
Thanks, boys. Looking forward to it. Mm-hmm.
Gerald, anything you're looking forward to?
We're heading to we get to go play some golf for the company this week. So really looking forward to that. Oh, shivers. Yeah, by the way, I forgot to put my leave in from my other job. So if you're watching, I won't be there Friday.
We're going down to the Hacker Major, I think it's called, by Hello Sport. The team is Gerald, myself, Tom Rockliffe, and Dylan from the Neds AFL podcast. Mm. So a bit of Code Wars there. I think we'll do a little bit better than them.
Is it Ambrose?
It is Ambrose.
Four man Ambrose.
And don't get your hopes up. I've played 18. I can count it many times. I played 18 on one hand.
Yeah.
But I do like hitting.
So probably five then?
Four times. I do like hitting a driver, so yeah. That's all I can do.
I have seen Foggs play cricket last year, and he was out for two golden ducks. So.
Well, we only need you for one of the shots, all right? Yeah. I'll be short game, putting and chipping, because I live on a golf course, so I'm not good at driving. On both aspects.
Yeah.
Especially in a golf cart. You'll be driving me around. I'll be That's getting right. chauffeured.
I'll
so
keep you hydrated, mate. Don't worry.
Looking forward to that. And catching up with our old mate. We'll be able to catch up with our old mate down
Timsy.
Timsy, yep. Yeah.
Yes,
Jared.
Yes.
And hang shit on how Manly going. I mean, they're going great, actually. So I can't really hang shit on them.
It is Masters weekend, so I'm looking forward to hearing about this golf
trip. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Who's your tip for the Masters?
I've always been a Xander Shoffley man.
You have said that.
Many times. Yeah. So that'll be my tip. But yeah, no, we need to get some footage of this golf trip, boys.
Oh, so. That's the reason they're sending me. So it's not my golfing ability.
Far out. Please play from pray for me.
Lovely to chat as always, boys. Thank you to Rich, who is behind the buttons. We will be back next week. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening to Ned's NRL Unpopular Opinions. Enjoyed the podcast? Remember to like, subscribe, and rate the show wherever you get your podcasts.
What's gambling really costing you? For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.